1 through 28, the Bible says, at that time, saying, your eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. So will the Lord do to all the kingdoms throughout which you pass. You must not fear them, for the Lord your God Himself fights for you. Then I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can let me cross over, see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains in Lebanon? But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough of that. Speak no more to me of this matter. Go up to the top of Pisgah. Right. Encourage him for this people shall cause them to inherit the land which you see. If you think about encouragement, that has to be one of the greatest examples of a man, any person, other than our Lord and Savior, who wants He Himself could not go over. And yet realizing that and realizing that he had to go onto the top of that mountain and die, he still encouraged Joshua. He gave him the encouragement and the strength through the words that he had to go on and do what he needed to do. That is indeed our inspiration when we think about it, how we get through life. If you think about inspiration and encouragement, we need to have the confidence in to encourage others, which he had. Sometimes it might be others aren't encouraged by others, but that should never be our motivation. It's not a matter of what others do or what they don't do. It's what we need. Easily said, I'm not going to do this. Go over, there's no way that I'm going to talk to Joshua. Of course, he would have not been pleasing in God's sight, but God didn't make him do it. Moses wanted to do it. Moses knew that land. You realize that as people, but what he's talking about is he knows it was his fault. The people that asked for water, he's the one that disobeyed God. But it was because of their constant whining and complaining that he got into that situation, and that's why he says that. But think about this for a moment. I've been truly encouraged this morning in our first assembly. As we sing those songs, and not because I put it together, anyone else could have done probably a good or better job than I, down to the fact that those are scriptures from God's Word, and I hope the songs we sing are pleasing God, not human beings. When we think about it and we put those things together, we get encouraged by them. Wouldn't you have hoped that everyone in the world could have sat here with us this morning and been able to sing those songs and read those scriptures? The last, our Lord and Savior and what He did for us, and the encouragement we gain by knowing that as God, He came to this earth and dwelt here as a human being, and that He gave His life on the cross for our sins. How can that not be the most encouraging thing to prompt us then to want to encourage others? When we think about encouragement, there's some things that people talk about. These are simply people's thoughts. Don't know who these writers are for these, by the way, these first few, but today will never come again. Be a blessing. Be a friend. Encourage someone. Take time to care. Let your words heal and not wound. How you make others feel about themselves say a lot about you. Now Confucius says this. How can you love people without encouraging them? And how can you be loyal to people without educating them? And I thought about this particular one. How do we encourage people? We try to educate them in what? God doesn't give us what we can handle. He helps us handle what we've been given. Faith tells me no matter what lies ahead of me, God is already there. Now, these are just people who wrote these. It's very encouraging to me to read these, but it's not even close to being encouraging with what some of the things we're going to talk about. I skip right past these definitions. See, to encourage is actually to inspire someone else with courage, spirit, or confidence. To stimulate by assistance and approval. Dictionary says to inspire someone with the courage or confidence to do something. It actually literally has the meaning of being alongside someone even though you're not there. It is saying to them, you can do this. When people, for instance, are trying to lose weight, we encourage them saying, you can do it. When people are wanting to succeed, we should be beside them and tell them, you can do it. But you know how we always, as Christians, usually talk about things like that? Need encouragement from fellow Christians. We came together today to encourage one another, didn't we? From the beginning of time, people have needed others to encourage them to do God's will. I thought about Noah and his family. You ever thought about this? How long it took to build that ark? Can you imagine being there if he had been there by himself building that ark and no one around him? Can you imagine what discouragement that could have been to watch the people? To know from the time that Noah started this process until the time he completed it, that his words would fall on deaf ears with the rest of the people. How discouraged would you get? Very discouraging, wouldn't it? But you think about the encouragement that they received from one another. In Hebrews 11, verse 7, it says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. He'd never seen it before. He'd never seen rains like this. He'd never seen a flood like this. Prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Can you imagine every day Noah getting up, a husband and a father, talking to his wife and his children and saying, we can pull this off. We can do this. We can get this done. Come into the ark with me. Let me tell you about our God. Let me tell you what He can do for us. He can save us from this disaster that's going to happen to the rest of the world. Can you imagine? Fathers, husbands, we need to be a neat leader like Noah. We need to be that type of man for our families. How about Abraham's influence on Lot? In Genesis 12:5, we find that Lot went with him, and yet we know something about this. We know that Abraham's brother, which was Lot's father, and Abraham's father and his uncles were all worshipers of idols, we're told in Joshua. But for some reason, he had a tremendous influence on Lot. And we know that it vexed Lot's righteous soul day to day with their unlawful deeds. But what if he didn't have that uncle? What if he didn't have that uncle standing there encouraging him, saying, Lot, you can get this done. You can do this with all your struggles. You can make it. How about Joshua with the children of Israel? He stands up there and he says, don't concern yourself about this, Joshua says. We know where he got his encouragement. He got it from God, but he got it through Moses. And Moses had encouraged him and told him and said, you can pull this, Joshua. You can do what I'm not going to be allowed to do. You can go into that land. You can do exactly what God wants. And what does he say to them the whole time? Be strong and of good courage. You can succeed. Look at what he says in verse 7 of Joshua 1. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do all according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right hand to the left. He's telling them what God wanted them to do. He's saying this thing from God. Don't do it, and you'll prosper wherever you go. You find a leader exhorting the people to be courageous and strong. We need leaders like this. Don't you wish we had a leader of a country like this, our country? David and Jonathan. David Jonathan was knit to him like his soul, it says. He told David about what was going to happen in 19:1 through 2, that his father Saul was after him, that he wanted to kill him, and he stands there and strengthens David in all of this and encourages him to do what he needed to do. Don't we need friends like that encouraging us, even against his own father's wishes? Don't we need people doing that? Elisha and Elijah, I've talked about them so many times. And here's Elijah in one of his weakest moments, had run, had gone away. And yet when Elisha comes along, what do we see happening? He went right back to work. He had someone standing alongside of him and saying, "We can do this." And God had told him, 7,000 have not bowed their knee to Baal. A fellow worker in the kingdom, being the encouragement needed for Elijah to keep going. But you know what? We need the strength we can gain from one another. Here's Paul on his way to Rome. He knows he is going to be tried there. He knows the seriousness of the situation. He understands what's about to happen as he travels there. And what do other Christians do? They risk their lives to come meet him and encourage him. In Acts 28:15, "And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appia Forum and three inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage." Even Paul needed it. Paul needed this encouragement from others. Talk about one man, and then I'm going to talk about the greatest encouragement and where we receive that. But this one man, you know, we need more Barnabases in the church, don't we? Let me tell you a little bit about Barnabas. I'm not going to give all that he ever did, but he encouraged by giving. He's one that's mentioned by name specifically as doing it correctly. In Acts 4:36 and 37, "And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated, son of encouragement." I don't know if you know this or not, but just try looking up the word encouragement. You don't find it too much. There are some Greek words that could have been encouragement or encourage. Most chose not to do it. But this one time, clearly, they named him, renamed him. He was such a son of encouragement. He was the man you want right there with you, a Levite of the country of Cyprus. Having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Can you imagine the encouragement he gave other people who were... He sold land. He gave up for them. He encouraged by standing with them. In Acts 9:26 and 27, when no one wanted to have anything to do with Saul, when they were afraid of him, when they were concerned about, is not this the man who's been persecuting Christians? Is this not the man who's been taking Jerusalem? He to join the disciples. But they were all afraid of him. And did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And then, of course, Saul declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. He encouraged by teaching. In Acts 11:19-23, they picked him to go do some teaching. "And those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great many number believed and turned to the Lord. Those things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. They sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch." What does that teach us about him? He was willing to go teach. "When they said go, he said, the grace of God, he was glad. The purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. He encouraged them all with purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord." That's the teaching he did. He wanted them to continue in the faith. He encouraged by working with, we'll find he sought out then Saul. He sought him out. Saul didn't seek him out. He sought Saul out to go do some teaching. I always think of the greatness of Paul. But here's a man who was one of the first ones that went, got him, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. A whole year They assembled the church, brought a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. They went to the church there where work had already been done by people like Barnabas. And Paul stayed there a year to work with the church. Encouragement that he got from Barnabas to go out. He encouraged by being a servant. These great tasks, if you will. As people look at it, he went out and did the teaching. He went out and did that. But let me tell you what else he did. The disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Nothing was too small for him. He didn't care to come and take the money and take someone else that was in need. He became a servant to the He was a type of man who didn't give up on people. We were talking about this in class. We shouldn't give up on people. We want to teach them. We want to understand the need to teach, but this is a man, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. These two are the best men you'll ever meet. I'm going to agree with Barnabas here, and I'm going to tell you why. He took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Let me tell you why. Because in 2 Timothy 4, as Paul realizes that he's not going to get out of jail, but he's going to die, you know what he said? "Get Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me for ministry." Pretty amazing, isn't it? Because of Barnabas kept encouraging him, he hung in there. So, giving when others need, that's what we need, don't we? Being there to give of ourselves, give of our means, give of whatever we can to help others, to encourage them. How about standing with a righteous person even when others will not being ashamed of it? Sometimes we're ashamed because that person, you know, they're not. Listen, stand with a person who's. And then teaching others at every opportunity. Working side by side with other Christians. Serving other Christians. And serving our fellow mankind as well. And defending others who are trying. You know, if not for a man like this. Now, would God have sent someone else? That's true. But think about this. He's the one. He's the one that encouraged Paul to go out and do what he did. He's the one that encouraged Mark to hang in there. He's the one that went and helped a man, and I'm only talking about something Barnabas did. He is a man that was an encourager. You start to understand that he is called son of encouragement. But the greatest encourager of all, it's God. We get our encouragement from God. We might get it through a fellow man, but it's only because they have been serving God. In Isaiah 41, 10 through 20, God is the great encourager. This, as Isaiah talked to them about what God said, he points this out. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish." Do you ever get concerned about the world? Do you ever get concerned about things? Well, God says, don't. Don't fear them. I'll take care of them for you. Believe in me. "You shall seek them and not find them, those who contended with you. Those who war against you shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing." Isn't that encouraging? "For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, you worm Jacob. You men of Israel, I will help you, says the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make you into a new threshing sledge with sharp teeth. You shall thresh the mountains and beat them small and make the hills like chaff. You shall winnow them, the wind shall carry them, the whirlwind shall scatter them. You glory in the Holy One of Israel. The poor and needy seek water, but there is none. Their tongues fail for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in desolate heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the acacia tree, the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the cypress tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this and the Holy One of Israel has created. If that's not encouraging, it's not. He said to them, you're over concerning yourself about things. You follow me. I will grab you by the right hand. Whoops. I will grab you by the right hand. I will hold you. I will take care of you. I will put water where there is no water. Could he do that? Well, we just... Bud, sure, he can put water anywhere he wants. Did you pray for water? We did. And I know you did too. Did he give us some water? We ask. He gives. Everything that we talk about. Nick in his prayer this morning talked about the many wonderful blessings that we have. Roger talked in his about the wonderful spiritual blessings we have. What an amazing thing to have everything come from God. Everything. We'll be encouraged through prayer. I just got through talking about, do we ask? Do we believe? First John 5:14 through 15. So we were getting ready to go somewhere on Friday. We had a trip to make and we prayed. Linda prayed and I know Bill and Kim did too. We didn't pray together. We prayed separately about God taking care of us on the trip. We prayed that the traffic would be good and nothing would happen to us. And guess what? He answered that prayer. So we thanked Him. Now you can, I've said this so many times, you can take things any way you want to. I don't care. You can say, well, that was chance. I'll still give Him the credit. I don't know about you, but He gets all the credit. This is why. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. How many prayers has He answered? Ever since we've been doing the prayer times together, our prayer meetings, everyone's talked about the prayers that they've asked to be up during that period of time and how many of those prayers have been answered. You ever said on how many prayers that He's answered? You know, there's no possible way because we don't even understand how He answers them and how He does it and what He does for us. Every day of our lives, I know I can talk to Him. I am so encouraged through prayer that all I have to do is take to talk to Him. It's the most amazing thing. So I can ask for so many things. Go back to the greatest thing I might ask. I can say to Him in prayer, Father, I did this wrong today. Will You forgive me? You know what He does? He forgives. Isn't that amazing? He took that away. He wiped it clean. He took it off of my slate of bad things. And He literally put Christ, converted it over to the good side. Amazing. And we've been encouraged through His Word. Today, the most encouraging thing we did was read from God's Word. Now, we sang some songs again. Those were written by humans, and they were very good. We were encouraged by them, but His Word is so, so precious. It is His Word that is a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway, Psalm 119, verse 105. It is what guides me. It encourages me every day. When I get down, which I hope is rare, I always have two resources with God, prayer and the Bible. And then I start reading the Bible, and it doesn't take very long for me to figure out, or maybe I don't read it, maybe I start reading it in my mind, things that I already know. Either way, it's so encouraging, isn't it, to know how He's taken care of His people and how He'll take care of me. How He has always planned for Abe Martin's salvation. That before time began, He showed His love for Abe Martin by making this wonderful plan of salvation. That's amazing to me. And so am I. Absolutely. always there. I'm encouraged by the promises. In 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4, grace and peace be multiplied to you by the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which you have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of this world through lust. I just read from Acts 13 in the what Paul said on that occasion, that God had kept every promise. Not one did he, one of them did he not execute perfectly. And that's the promises that are, he'll keep those as well. I'm encouraged in knowing, as I look back, that He has given all these exceedingly great and precious promises. Amazing how He did it. But, as Cody stole my thunder in the first letter, John 1, the greatest encouragement that we'll ever receive is through and by His Son. His Son came into this world as a light to the world. His Son, and I'm only going to read a few passages. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 11. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him, those Jews. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in His name. Who were born, not of blood, not of the will of flesh, nor of the will of God, of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. How did He do that? How did He give us the right to become His children? Through His death on the cross, His sacrifice for our sins, His burial in the ground, and His resurrection from the dead. All of those were needful for man's salvation. That was the method by which God chose for everyone to have forgiveness of sins. There is no other method for getting rid of our sins through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Our faith has to be such that we know that He did this for us, that He died for our sins. You think about this for a moment. Without God giving us that, without God encouraging us and letting us know that we can make it through His grace, through His the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son, life would be in vain. Life would be empty. There would be nothing to look forward to. There would be nothing we could do about our circumstances in this life. There would be no one to ask for the things we need, knowing we can receive those things we have need of. But without fellow Christians encouraging us to keep going, like this today in our assemblies, to overcome and to succeed, it would make it much more difficult to get through this life. Think about this for just a moment. If, like Noah, we only had our family, think about how much more difficult that would be even with the encouragement that he received. You can do all things through Christ, who strengthens you. But you have to do it by accepting His will, by doing exactly what He wants you to do, doing it exactly the way that He wants it, because He's an exact God. He did everything perfectly. He wants us to do our best to be perfected like His Son, to be perfect like His Son in our obedience. If you have any needs today, please let us know about them while together we stand and sing.